Discover personally how the Word of God can affect a change in your life through the ministry of Bishop Dyke-Ewad Mills. Dyke-Ewad Mills is the founder of the Lighthouse Chapel International, a denomination with over 2,000 branches worldwide. He is a healing evangelist and the author of several best-selling books. He is also the pastor of the First Love Church, a campus ministry with over 200 branches. The First Love Church is a vibrant church with young, energetic people, full of first love for the Lord. Now listen to Dyke-Ewad Mills.
Amen. Amen. Were you blessed by the ministration? It's time for testimonies. Hallelujah. Even as people testify, I believe that our lives are being changed. Amen. And I want you to help me welcome Nanama to testify. Make some noise as we welcome Nanama to testify. Oh, please encourage her even as she comes to the stage. She's going to tell us her name and what God has done for her. Hallelujah.
My name is Nanama. I'm in the Mass Choir, RC Band. And my testimony is about how God helped me to let go of a brother that I liked. The brother is a Christian, but he wasn't in First Love. He wasn't in Lighthouse. And I was worried about that because I knew that this church was where God wanted me to be. So one day I was in church and I was listening to my chief elder preach, and she mentioned Atmosphere Camp. So I just decided to listen to that camp. I had the video, so I watched the video. And in the video, Daddy said that your future is connected to my future and my future is connected to your future. And just when I heard that, I knew that was like a confirmation for me that God wanted me to stay in church, and that the brother, he would have taken me out if I had continued with him, but I knew that after I heard that God wanted me to stay in church. And then we had a joint service in Mampong. Daddy was preaching on faith. Tech came in very late in that service, but what I heard Daddy say was that we should believe in our convictions. And that was like a second confirmation for me. So with these confirmations in my heart, I knew how to make a decision and let the brother go. And by the grace of God, I have been able to let him go. So I want to say thank you very much to Daddy, because the confirmations came to me through Daddy's voice, and I knew that I had made the right decision. Amen.
Wow, why don't you put your hands together? We have another testimony. Help me welcome Kukwa to give us her testimony. Please put your hands together for her. Please encourage her as she comes to the stage. She's going to tell us what God has done for her. Amen.
I'm Kukwa from Kolebu. And my testimony is about me being delivered from an accident. I closed from church midweek service last month, and I was going home. As I was going, I had a message from the First Love WhatsApp. So I downloaded the audio and I started listening to it. It was a prayer from Daddy about we having a stubborn heart and we being delivered from any accident. So I was listening to the prayers. All of a sudden, I don't know what happened, but all of a sudden I heard the people in the car shouting, "Jesus, Jesus, Jesus." But I don't know. And I started, like, I don't know what happened. But I can't really, I don't know what happened. But I saw, I saw that they were wounded. Like, after everything, we came out of the car and I saw the people being wounded. Like, it was just there, and the police have to rush to our aid and send them to 37 Military Hospital. So a man came from another car and asked me, "Sister, are you in this car?" And I told him that yes, I was in this car. And he said, "Hey, God has really saved you." And I said, "Yes, the prayers of my daddy is not in vain." I told him that the prayers of my daddy Bishop Dag is not infinite. And the man asked me, Are you a lighthouse member? And I told him that yes, I'm a lighthouse member. He said, wow, that man is very good. I don't know the man from anywhere. And the man took my number and the man started to call me that. Oh, give me your messages, give me the messages from your daddy. So I want to thank Daddy. It's not been for Bishop Dag, I don't know where I would have been by now. I thank Daddy for his prayers upon my life. I thank Daddy so much. Daddy, God bless you everywhere you are. I thank you very much.
Amen. People are being delivered from accidents just because of the prayers of our Father. Help me welcome Ngozi to testify. Please put your hands together as we welcome Ngozi. She's going to tell us what the Lord has done for her. Amen.
Praise the Lord. My name is Ngozi. I just completed from KNUST. I want to testify about what God has done in my life. Me being alive and standing here is my testimony, because in August, I started having pains just below my right ribs, and they said it was hepatomegaly, the enlargement of the liver. And then later on, it became my stomach swelled up. It was fluid in my stomach, and they said it was ascites. And then I was having fever every day. I lost weight. I didn't have appetite. I was so weak. But even in that state, I still went to take my exams in first semester, even when they told me to go home just like that and forget about the semester. After then, I went home and I was finally admitted in the hospital. While I was there, I was listening to the messages by our daddy. I listened to the prayers. I watched the Healing Jesus videos. I read books. And then I had this faith that even though people were seeing me and screaming that you will not die, I believed that I was okay. And today, here I am. They said it was abdominal TB, but I don't know. But that was me, and this is me now, and I'm grateful unto God. I want to encourage everybody to take the prayer seriously. When you find yourself in need of something, go back to the messages, go back to the videos, and then your faith will be rekindled again.
Amen. Powerful testimonies. We have another testimony. Do you want to hear another testimony? Let's welcome Nathan to give us his testimony.
Hello, everybody. My name is Nathan. My testimony is also about life, concerning life and an accident. Well, that was 22nd June. I was driving back from a meeting, and I was on the Tema motorway, and I had passed the toll gate. I was 10 minutes away from home, and there was a tipper truck beside me. I was driving beside it. Then all of a sudden, the car began to shake. I just lost control of the steering wheel, and then the car just zoomed in front of the tipper truck, and it went into the bushes. All of a sudden, it started to roll. It spun. I remembered four, because I passed out by the fifth one. There was an onlooker. Some said seven. It rolled seven times. Some said ten. But all I remember was that when I woke up, when I gained consciousness, this arm was outside of the window, and then this arm was, so when I looked up, the lights were on, car was still running. Then I could hear people outside. They were saying, come out, come out, come out. But I didn't understand what was happening. So I looked again, and I saw that there was blood all over my jeans, my shirt, everywhere. I saw that this hand was bleeding. So I was trying to move out to see what was happening, but I realized that the hand was not moving. So I used my right hand, took this arm, put it to my body, and I came out. When I looked through the window, I saw the front of the car was on fire. So it looks like the police were afraid, so they were outside and telling me to come out. But I couldn't come out because the pain was very unbearable. So I tried to get my phone, but everything was stuck in the mud because the car had become inverted. It was not flat on the ground. It had entered mud. So the car had turned. It was inverted. It was lying very unbalanced. So the window was up, and everything was a bit, it was not nice at all. So I came out of the window. Then I started shouting. I said, please help me. I'm alive. Please help me. So then, before I knew it, there was one gentleman that he just rushed, and his name is Ebenezer. He still calls me up to today. He pulled me out of the car window. He pulled me out, and then he, on his shoulder, he took me to the street where the police van was parked. They tell me that it was a distance. It was almost from here to the very last row. No, probably to the door. But what I remember was that I walked from where Bishop is sitting straight here. That's what I remembered. So I must have been dazed when it was happening. So I just walked. This arm was virtually not cooperating. So I just walked to the street. The police put me in there. They had a pickup truck, but they put me in the behind the wagon. They put me there. And there were tires over there, and they made me lie on the tires. So every speed bump, every road, then I would feel a lot of pain. But when I was there, I was just praying because I felt blood in my throat. So I was confessing all my sins. I said, Father, please forgive me. I mean, if it's... No, most of you don't understand what I'm saying, but if you are in such a situation, you will see that you are seeing death, but you don't know what is happening to you, because I honestly saw it. And it was very cold. I mean, there was nothing. Nobody was picking up their phones, nothing, the evening. So I went to Tema General Hospital. I came inside. They injected every part of my body. I was just there. When I came, they asked me, where are you from? I said, Tema Motorway. They looked at me, and they tried to see if there was anything wrong. So they said, they asked me for my car registration. I told them, I got... The bed they put me on, there was nothing, but I was glad that I was alive, honestly, because the mattress or anything didn't matter. Then they took my, did a lot of things, but I was just looking to see if there was anything wrong. But then at 2 a.m., Lady Reverend Erica came to the hospital. Honestly, if she hadn't come, I don't know what I would have done. I felt there were so many things going through my mind. Nobody was picking up. I was alone. It was cold. They left me in the midst. It was very horrible. She came with her husband, Bishop Ayi. The relief that came from that visit at that point in time, it was more than excellent. Up till now, the police keep calling my sister to ask her if I'm still alive, because the car bent even to the point of the accelerator. They found that my shoes had melted on the accelerator. But my feet, they asked me to check my feet that day, and I checked, there was nothing wrong with it. I was very well. Yeah, so, all in all, there are many things that could have happened, but I thank God that we are under a great covering. Father Bishop and his prayers, praying for us. I want to thank Bishop, and I want to thank Lady Reverend Erica. I want to thank Lady Pastor Vivaldi for coming to visit me, LP Ida. Thank you very much, because there was so much going through me. But when you came, you just strengthened me. You kept me strong. You kept me going. God bless you. Thank you, Daddy, for your prayers. I'm alive today only because of your prayers. God bless you.
Why don't you put your hands together for a powerful testimony? Hallelujah. We have our final testimony. Let's welcome Pastor Joshua to give us his testimony.
Amen. In the year 2010, I began university. And my life was very different from what it is now. My father was or is a pastor, as some of you may know. But I wasn't interested. The one thing I didn't want to be interested in was in ministry. I didn't want to be in ministry because I didn't want my children to experience what I felt I was experiencing. Amen. So I went to university and didn't want to be involved in ministry. I was barely, my friends weren't Christian. My life, I was not a Christian, maybe I should put it that way. I don't think I was a very strong Christian or a serious Christian. I had just given my life to, rededicated my life to Christ, and I was a Christian, but nothing spectacular. I wanted to be a lawyer. I wanted to be a lawyer in New York. I had a lot of dreams. I wanted to build a skyscraper. You know, I had a lot of fantastic aims. Anyway, so I started university, and the church I was going to, which is the Lighthouse Chapel International branch in that city, had an all-night. And if you're a pastor's child, all-nights are not your favorite encounter. But I had to go. So we were praying, and if you go to all-night, you know, around 2, 3 a.m. is the time when everybody begins to, you know, fall asleep or go into another realm. So I began to fall asleep. I think somebody must have noticed that I was dozing. So she walked up to me and she said, there's a very good way to stay awake when you're at an all-night. And I said, how do you stay awake? And she said, listen to preaching while you're praying. And I said, wow, okay, let's try. So she took my iPod, connected it to a laptop, and she just dumped a whole lot of messages onto my iPod. I don't even know which one. So I just scrolled. I don't even know how I chose, and I just pressed play because I was trying to stay awake. So I was pacing up and down at the back of the hall, praying and listening to the message. And the title of the message so happened to be The Missionary Call. So, you know, I started listening to the message, and I realized that as I was listening to the message, I was awake, fully awake. And I had never heard anything like that before. And so I was praying and listening to the message and praying and listening to the message. And at a certain point in the message, if you know it, Bishop started to talk about Basil Maloff. And he began to describe, it's a very long message, but he began to describe, Basil Maloff is a famous missionary. He started to describe his decision to serve God. And at that point, something happened to me. At that time, it didn't feel spiritual, but when I look back now, it must have been. But I felt like a turning sensation in my chest, like a washing machine going around. And the room was like it was full of water. And I couldn't stay in the room. So I ran outside onto the road. And it was like something in me was changing. And, you know, I don't know. In a moment, it just totally changed me. And when I went out onto the road, I just started saying, almost involuntarily, that God, I'll save you. Also on the road, in the middle of the night, I said, God, I'll save you. God, I'll do your will. God, I'll. And to my surprise, a few years later, I'm a pastor. Some people say I'm a pastor. And I'm serving God. And, you know, my life's aim is to do God's will. I'm so in love with what my father does, with the work that he does, and I'd like to join him. I'd like to do and help him to do everything that he's doing. And I'm just sharing. I just felt I should share this testimony because I think sometimes you don't know how God can change you. And you know, like our father has taught us, the Bible says that when, in Ezekiel chapter 2, verse 2, that the Spirit entered into me when he spoke to me. And I just want to say that, you know, when we listen to the messages, and don't be shallow. Don't just listen to the podcast. Find the Makane. Don't just listen to the Makane. Find the Poimano. Find messages and listen to them and pray. And I tell you, the person you are today has no bearing on the person you'll be in 5 years. Because the Spirit will enter into you. Listening to messages, you know, I always try to share messages because that's how God called me. And that's how God changed me from the person I was in an instant and changed my desires and changed me from the inside outside. So I want to encourage everybody here to get messages, listen to messages, pray, and believe that God will change you. The Spirit will enter into you when you hear the voice of our Father. Thank you very much. God bless you.
Amen. Powerful testimonies. Are you blessed by the testimonies? Ladies and gentlemen, we have another ministration. Let's welcome Ida.
The Spirit of the Lord is upon the man of God. He is anointed to preach the word of God. Oh yeah. And heal my broken heart and your broken heart by the anointing. Oh yeah. When you have tears on your pillow and pain in your heart, Jesus heals your heart. Oh, oh my Jesus, He has the power to heal me. Yes, He does. The Holy Spirit is the comforter in my life. Yeah. Jesus is anointed, anointed to heal my broken heart. Oh, when I have tears on my pillow and pain in my heart, He is there for me. Yeah, when I have tears on my pillow and pain in my heart, He is there for me. Oh yeah. Oh my heart, my tender heart, it's been broken so many times by so many things. Oh yeah. But Jesus healed me. He healed me time and time and time and time again. Oh yeah. When I have tears on my pillow and pain in my heart, Jesus healed my heart. Whoa, 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 yeah.
By a prophet, the Lord brought Israel out of Egypt. And by a prophet was he preserved. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord.
Jesus healed me, He healed me time and time and time and time again. Oh yeah. When I had tears on my pillow and pain in my heart, Jesus healed my heart. Now listen, there was a woman, yeah, in the city of Nain. Oh, oh, her son had died. She was broken. She could not be comforted. Oh, oh.
But one day she met Jesus. Oh, oh, oh. And he raised the son to life again. Oh, hallelujah. When she had tears on her pillow and pain in her heart, Jesus healed her heart. Oh, oh. There was another woman had been bent for 18 years. No one loved her. And you know what? No one showed her any kindness. Oh. But one day she met Jesus. He said to her, "Woman, thou art loose from thine infirmity." His power touched her body. Yeah, she stood up that day and she was healed. Oh, oh. There was yet another woman with the issue of blood. Remember that woman? She had been bleeding, oh, for 12 long years. Oh, oh, oh. And she'd suffered many things. Oh, oh, from many physicians. Oh, yeah. But she reached out and touched the hem of his garment, and she was healed. Oh, 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 oh. When she had tears on her pillow and pain in her heart, Jesus healed her heart. Oh, oh my. So when you have tears on your pillow and pain in your heart, Jesus will heal your heart. Yes, he will. Yeah. When I have tears on my pillow and pain in my heart, he is there for me.
Hallelujah. Are you excited? It's time for the word of God. Amen. By the grace of God, for the first time, we are having church in our own building. And not, God has not only blessed us with a church building, but he has blessed us with an anointed pastor, an anointed father. And ladies and gentlemen, our father is going to minister to us. And if you're excited, help me welcome Bishop Dagon Mills.
Let us pray. Father, thank you for this time, this opportunity that we have to be here in our own building. We are so glad. We are so grateful. Touch our hearts in a very special way. We are grateful, dear Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Before I preach, I just want to introduce somebody. Some years ago, I went to a church in Europe, Denmark, I think it was. is it Denmark? Yeah, Denmark. And I was sitting by the pastor in front, and he said to me, you know, if I was in Ghana, I would go to Lighthouse because... because there is Minsha in the church. So today we have a Minsheric church. We were together in Calvary Road many, many years ago, and he has planted a beautiful church in Denmark. He has been there for many years. And he's also got a Minsheric church. So he's here with his beautiful wife. Let's welcome Pastor James Comey and his wife. Come and say hello. Oh, where is your Minsheric?
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It is. Yes. Hallelujah. Truly, there is Misha in the house. And what Bishop said is truly true. If I was to be in Ghana, I will be in Lighthouse. Amen. I'm here with my wife, Clara. The most beautiful woman in the world. And I'm blessed with three kids. One of them is in Australia with Hillsong. And last year when I was here, I said to myself that any of my children who has a desire to go into, I'll bring them to Ghana to be trained here in Lighthouse. But she's not here with us, but I'm here with my son, Joel. Please come up, and Chris and Carol. Please come and say hello to them before I sit down. Joel? Okay. I think Joel is somewhere else, but Carol is... Oh. Carol is my last girl. She's here with us. And that's Joel, my boy. So there's one missing. But we are so happy to be here. When I came to Ghana, I came on another mission. But I said I would definitely have to sit under Bishop's feet and listen to the word. I said I wouldn't be any other place than here at the First Love Church. And I'm happy to be here. Just so we can be blessed. Amen. Thank you very much, Bishop. God bless you so much. You are doing a great job, and I believe that beyond the nations is what this ministry is up to, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you. Give them a mighty clap offering. Sharing.
feel. Listen, today is our, is this thing open? Yeah. Today is our first time in this building, so we want to anoint this place and pray. God has been good to us. We have been able to build something and enter it and have a roof over our heads. Yes. What a blessing. Stretch out your hands. My Father, which art in heaven, I thank you that you have put us in here and done a great work which we have never planned to do. Not by might, not by power, but by the Holy Spirit of God. You have made this possible. We thank you. We give you the honor and the praise. All things come of thee, O Lord. We have nothing of our own. And we say thank you, Jesus, for what you have done. Your power has lifted us out of nowhere and put us here. We are thankful. We like it. We are grateful. And we know that this is a sign of many things, even to come. Thank you, Jesus, for your blessing. We are grateful. And Lord, today we anoint this building. And we say, as we pour the oil here, let it be a holy temple. Let your presence and your goodness be found here. Let your angels ascend from this room into heaven and into your presence with our prayers. And let angels descend from heaven into this room with answers from your throne, with blessings, with healings, with solutions, with breakthroughs, with answers in the name of Jesus. Let this be a blessed room, Lord, a blessed hall, a hall of blessings. A hall with angels always standing around and ministering spirits. Blessed presence of Jehovah. The goodness of God. Let it be found here all the days of our lives. Let there be many salvations, many healings, many callings, many saving of people. Changing of lives, many weddings, many beloveds, many good things. Anyone who comes here, let the person be blessed. When they come, Lord, let them come again. When they are coming, let them come with more people. Let there be no space in this room, Lord, to contain the multitude and the overflow. For we shall not be few. They shall not be few. For you shall increase us mightily. Thank you, my God. Creator of heaven and earth, create more things and do more than you have already done. We give you praise and we give you thanks. Lift your hand and receive the glory of God. Receive the blessing of the Lord. Receive the help of the Lord. We declare that this is a blessed hall and a blessed place from henceforth. Whatever is a problem, whatever is molesting anybody, when the person comes to this hall, the person will be healed and delivered and blessed. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Whatever demon is attached to anyone who walks into this room, that demon drops off in the name of Jesus. Whatever is a curse that is on anyone's family or anyone's situation, when they walk into this room, the curse is broken immediately in the name of Jesus. Whatever spell has been cast on anyone, when the person enters this room, the spell is canceled in the name of Jesus. Whatever witchcraft or bewitchment, enchantment, wizardry, evil incantations and declarations are on any messenger of darkness, when the person enters this place, a conversion takes place. In Jesus' name. Father, I thank you. He who began a great work shall surely bring it to a perfect completion. We are thanking you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Any libation, any blood that has been shed, any bones that are buried here, any wickedness that is here, we uproot it, we uncover it, we dismiss it in Jesus' name. Thank you for your power and thank you for your blessing that is here. We shall live and see the goodnesses of the Lord and the mercies of the Lord in this room. I declare many multitudes of weddings and joyous occasions in this hall in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And everyone shouted, amen. Amen. Let the church say amen. Amen. Let the church say amen. 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 Hallelujah. You may be seated. Matthew 10:41. I want you to listen carefully to this message because some people have made a serious spiritual mistake which you will not make. And I believe whatever mistake has been made will be overturned in this message. Verse 41. My topic is the ministry of your prophet. The ministry of your prophet. Verse 41. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he that receiveth a righteous man
in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. Amen. Now, there are different types of men of God. When I say men of God, I mean a man who is of God. That's a man of God. Different types. In this verse, we have two types. A prophet and then a righteous man. In the church, you will see the Bible says that God has set up in the church first apostles. He actually gives the order. First apostles and secondarily prophets. Then third teachers. Alright, so there is an order. It's not all the same. It's not all the same. There's first, there's second, there's third. The apostles are the most senior ranking type of man of God. And then prophets. Actually, apostles and prophets are usually together because they are the biggest ones. And they are used to establish the church. The Bible says that the church is built on the foundations of the apostles and prophets. So Jesus Christ is the vine. Then you come to the apostles and prophets. Those are the branches. And on those branches, he says the church is built on the foundation of apostles and prophets. The church is built on these two ministries, and apostles and prophets. Okay, so Jesus is the vine, then you have apostles and prophets. And then you have teachers, pastors, and so on. Those are the tertiary branches. The primary branches are the apostles and prophets. Then secondary, you have other types of men of God, like pastors, teachers, and evangelists. And then tertiary branches are righteous men like you. Are you understand? Because Jesus said, I'm the vine, you are the branches. Okay, so first the vine, then you have primary branches, secondary branches. Because in a tree, you always have the trunk, then you have branches, and then smaller and smaller and smaller. All right? So, it's important, going back to our verse here, to receive somebody in the way God wants you to receive the person. Do you understand? Right. Because there are different ways you can receive somebody. You can receive somebody as a righteous man. Oh, you are just a good person, a good brother. That's one of the reasons why we started appointing pastors. Because sometimes when someone is even ministering to you and sharing the word, you may look at the person, oh, this is just like a sort of zealous brother who is trying to share scriptures. He's sharing his quiet time or something. Do you see? So then we started to appoint people as pastors. Then it helps people to receive them better when the person speaks. If LP Ida was not a pastor, you may just say, oh, it's just a serious sister who is singing. And so if she says something, it seems to be a little less. So pastors are taken more seriously because you take the person, oh, it's a pastor, she's a pastor, or he's a pastor. So that's why we appoint people as pastors, so that the person can go above a righteous man. Now you don't just say, oh, it's a zealous sister. So one day, I was a righteous man in the school. I started a church, and God laid in my heart, I've never heard a voice say, I've called you to be a pastor, but I believed in my heart that I should be a pastor, I should do the work of God, basically. So I introduced myself to the people, said, I'm a pastor.
So everybody used to call me Brother Dag. So I said, from that time, they shouldn't call me Brother Dag again. I'm Pastor Dag. That's how I became a pastor. I didn't have anybody to introduce me. That is why the Bible says that you have the vine, then you have the branches, primary branches. You have the apostles and prophets. You see, no one told Paul what to do. But Paul told Timothy what to do. Timothy has two books of instructions. Do this, do this, do this. When other women, young women, do this, pray. The things I taught you, teach the same thing. Timothy. But there's nothing to Paul. Paul received directly from God because the vine is there, and then the primary branches, and then the secondary branches, and then the tertiary branches. Are you with me? So, when you receive somebody as a pastor, like when I officiate somebody's wedding and I say, I declare you are now husband and wife from today. You mean you receive me as a powerful enough pastor to marry you and declare you to be husband and wife. Not just as a righteous, because a righteous brother, you can see him in the house and you say you are husband and wife, but you are not husband and wife. Yes. So you need to receive the person as a pastor so that what he does is well received by you. Mm-hmm. So depending on how you receive a person, the person's ministry and power comes into you. So there are people who don't receive me as a pastor because they don't know me as a pastor. You know, even with my mother, my mother is mommy. She's not my sheep in that sense. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like people who know me from another era, they just know me as a brother or a Christian or a friend or something, or a half caste. I mean, anything. Depending on how they know me, I operate that way. One day I was sitting with a millionaire, and I knew that he needed some medicine. You see, but I realized that he would not receive me as a doctor because I am also a doctor and I do practice medicine. I realized that he doesn't see me as a doctor. He will see me as a pastor at that time. So I just stayed with the Bible. I almost tried to give him something, but I realized that he doesn't see me that way. I said, no, let me just stay out of that realm. So depending on how somebody takes you, that's how you become to the person. So today, I also want to introduce myself very well to you. Do you understand? Yes. That's why I'm introducing myself. I'm talking about the ministry of your prophet. Now, I am a pastor. We are still here. I am a pastor, but if you can receive it, then I will become, or I will be a prophet also to you. Now, if I am a prophet to you, you receive certain rewards or certain benefits. Like when you say, oh, what are the rewards for this job as a lawyer? Or it means, what are the benefits? Like, what do I get? What do I get from it? That's why I said that if you receive a prophet in the name of a prophet, like, or as a prophet, you get the benefits of a prophet's ministry. So many people have not gotten the benefits of a prophet's ministry from me, even though I have been a prophet to them, because I have not called myself that. Neither have I vaunted myself over them as such. Do you see? But I've waited for them to see it or discern it. Now, those few who have benefited from it. So today, this is a short message, but I think that it's important as we are entering here to see. Turn to Hosea. Hosea.
But even before you do Hosea, perhaps Jeremiah wouldn't be bad as a starter. 28. Just a quick read through. It came to pass the same year, in the beginning of the reign of Zedekiah, the king of Judah, a certain man called Hananiah, the son of Azur the prophet, he came in the presence of the priest saying, thus says the Lord, okay, I have broken the yoke of the king of Babylon. Within 2 years, I will bring again into this place all the vessels of the Lord's house that Nebuchadnezzar the king took from this place and carried them to Babylon. All right? Verse 4. And I will bring Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, and all the captives of Judah, I will bring them. I will break the yoke of the king of Babylon. Listen, look at me. The city was surrounded by Babylonian troops. They were in a state of war. Just like how, where is there a war in the world? Syria. Yeah, like something like that. And then Hananiah woke up and said, thus says the Lord. 2 years from now, all the Syrians who've moved to Germany will be back. Syria will be perfect, normal. That's Hananiah. So Jeremiah was in the house when he heard this prophecy. Look at verse 6. And even the prophet Jeremiah said, amen. Hey, it's a powerful message. The Lord do so, perform thy words which thou hast prophesied to bring again the vessels of the Lord's house and all that is carried away captive from Babylon to this place. It's wonderful. And I say amen to it. Verse 8. Nevertheless, but Jeremiah gave a warning to Hananiah, who was now claiming to be a prophet. He said in verse 7, nevertheless, hear this word that I speak in your ears and in the ears of all these people. The prophet that have been before me and before thee of old prophesied both against many countries and against great kingdoms of war, evil, pestilence, so many things. But verse 9, the prophet which prophesied peace, when the word of the prophet shall come to pass, then shall the prophet be known that the Lord has truly sent him. That's how you know a prophet. This is the only way, really, to know a prophet. This is the main way to know a prophet. When a prophet speaks and it comes to pass, then shall the prophet be known. Okay? That the Lord hath truly sent. All this, Jeremiah was not prophesying. He was just giving him scriptural, sort of like Bible study. He was doing Bible study with Hananiah. Then Hananiah's anointing became even wilder in verse 10. Then Hananiah the prophet took the yoke from Jeremiah's neck and broke it like a dramatic display. Verse 11. And he said, Hananiah spake in the presence of all the people, said, this is how I will break the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar from the neck of all nations within the space of 2 years. And Jeremiah didn't say anything again, and he went his way. You see, that is a true prophet. A true prophet doesn't always prophesy and doesn't always have a word. Sometimes he has advice, counsel, which is what he gave to Hananiah. He said, look, amen. What you are saying is fantastic. May the Lord let it come to pass. Remember that it is when things come to pass that we know this man is a prophet or not. No prophecy. He didn't have any. Now, Jeremiah was leaving. They had broken the yoke of his neck. They did this drama, and he was now going. So as he was going, okay, then the word of the Lord came. You see, there's a difference between when the word of the Lord has come to the prophet or he's just advising. So on his way, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet. After Hananiah broke the yoke from the neck of Jeremiah,
saying, verse 13, go and tell Hananiah. Now, he now has a word. First one was advice, like just scripture advice. Go and tell Hananiah, thus says the Lord, thou hast broken the yokes of wood, but thou shalt make for them yokes of iron. In other words, they will be replaced. You broke wooden yoke, but it is going to be replaced with iron. Verse, the next verse. For thus says the Lord of hosts, I have put a yoke of iron on all these nations, that they may serve Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon. And they shall serve him. And I've even given him the beasts of the field. Then said the prophet to Hananiah, listen, hear me now, Hananiah. The Lord has not sent you, but thou makest these people to trust in a lie. You are making people follow things that are not true. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, I will cast thee off from the face of the earth this year. Thou shalt die this year. You will die this year. Because thou hast taught rebellion against the Lord. This year you are dying. So Hananiah the prophet died the same year, seventh month. That's the real prophet speaking. That same year, Hananiah the prophet died. It came to pass. So I just want you, there are many things you see, because one day I was in a church, the pastor is a prophet, a known prophet, and he has this wonderful word of knowledge, which, I mean, we all pray for. So the people want that thing to manifest all the time. So they put pressure on the person, like, speak a word, prophet, a word, but there's no word. So the first time Hananiah prophesied and was saying what he was saying, Jeremiah just gave him, just remember that it is when things happen that we know. He had no word from the Lord. Now Kenneth Hagin, who is a prophet also, he describes when they say the word of the Lord came. He said, you hear it in your ear like that. They actually hear a voice like that speaking. One time he was in a car and a voice it just spoke in the ear. He said, this problem you are having, you'll be solved, it will be okay, and I will speak to you tomorrow. He said, he turned around in the car, he thought everybody was there. But that's the word of the Lord. Come, it's an audio, it's like audio vision. If you don't have it, you don't have it. You can't create it. Okay? Are you listening? So please, it's very important, because a prophet can be a very great blessing. But because of false prophets, even people don't want to be called prophets. And people say it's like almost like something negative. And especially a lot of money things with it. You know, a lot of money things. And a lot of words of knowledge which are not true. People concocting things and finding out information about you and saying things about you that are not the case. Do you understand? Yes. But you see, the reason why you would follow something that when you are in trouble, you really need to hear from God. It makes us very vulnerable and open to such things. So now I want to introduce you to what I'm calling the ministry of your prophet. Okay? Because as I stand as your pastor, I can also be a prophet to you. If you can receive it. Hosea, and my message is be ending soon. Now, we are believing God that this place will be air-conditioned. Amen. Also, you can already see the lights that are going to, type of lights that's going to be here. And there's no toilet. Don't come here planning to go to toilet. There's nothing here. You have to hold it till we finish. We are yet to build all those things. Okay, so it's a wilderness for now, but it's a blessing. Hallelujah. So bring Imodium if your stomach is whatever. Now, Hosea 12, verse 10. I want you to understand the ministry of a prophet. I have also spoken by the prophets. So, for many of you, you will see that God has used me to speak to you. The word prophet there is Nabil, which means an inspired person. All right? So I need you to be careful. These are the things that a prophet does. It says, I have spoken. So a prophet, number one, will speak. Speaks. So when a prophet is speaking, be careful that you take it as what it is. Because it may be a prophecy. And it may be something that is really critical for your life. Do you understand? Look, was Peter an apostle? I'm asking you a question in English. Was Peter an apostle? What about James and John and Andrew? Yes. Were any of them called with a vision? Who was called with a vision? Paul. But it doesn't make Peter and John not, what do you call it? Visions have their place. So speaking is the first thing of a prophet. He speaks. Then he says, I've also spoken by the prophets. Then number two, he says, I have multiplied visions. Now, visions. Prophets have visions. Audio visions and visions. Okay, so I have spoken by the prophets, King James, please, and I have multiplied visions. So there are different types of visions, but you see, you cannot make and create visions. That's where we start going off. That's where we start making mistakes, because a prophet has more visions than normal. That's why it says, I've multiplied visions. Like, there'll be more visions by the ministry of the prophets. Okay? Then, and so, but even though the visions are a bit more than everybody else, it does not mean that you can concoct it. And it's not all the whole, I'm giving you five things from the ministry of the prophet, and there are three. And then we've closed. Five. And visions is one. And you see, all real prophets, they look like Kenneth Hagin. Jesus appeared to him 8 times between 1952 and 1958 or so. And that was after that. He told him on the last vision, you are not going to have to follow me like everybody else. That's it. I'm not appear to you again like this. Oh yeah, he told him. And that's 1952. He had this vision, 1950, 1952 vision. And so he names the vision by the year. The 1952 was one of the big ones. Yes. And by the last one, he told me, I will not appear to you again. You have to follow me like every ordinary minister. So he didn't appear to him again. That's the, I met Kenneth Hagin in 1980-something. And this was, he was 30-something years old. Based on those visions, that is his whole ministry. So even though he multiplies visions and gives fantastic, it's not like something that is every moment or every day. Paul had one vision, then he had another vision some other time, and that was about it. So you cannot force things that God may not be doing. Because there are several things that make up the ministry of a prophet. And one of them is speaking. So even preaching, this is a prophet speaking. That's why when you listen to the message, like the testimony Joshua was giving, there's something in the message. It's not just a word. Jesus said, the words I speak to you, they are spirit and life. Like Ezekiel said, the spirit entered me when he spoke to me. Something happens to you. Healings take place. Miracles take place. So, he says, I've multiplied visions. Yes, you can expect multiplied visions. You can expect speaking. Number three, and I've used similitudes. Similitude is like parables or a similar thing. You know, something similar. When you come to church and you hear testimonies, when you come to church, you hear testimony, you hear stories. You see, my preaching, I will explain something to you. Listen. There are two people I listen to preaching a lot. One is Kenneth Hagin and the other is Fred Price. Kenneth Hagin's preaching is different from Fred Price's preaching. What's the difference? The difference is the presence of similitudes in the preaching of Hagin, the prophet. After reading the scriptures in the first 2 minutes, he doesn't read scriptures again. Most of the time, it's like stories. There are people who put on the radio or listen to me preaching. If you listen for the first time, what story am I telling? Even now, I'm telling you a story. You can hardly start listening to me preaching without saying I'm saying something about something. You don't know what am I talking about. It's a similitude. That after some time, after listening to both of these people, I realized that I enjoyed listening to Hagin more. And I don't know, but it was like it didn't seem to get finished. Fred Price's own was so clear, so clear. So clear, it was like, but it got finished. It's like almost as if the message finishes. But Hagin's own didn't seem to be finishing. Even now, it's not finished. A few days ago, I was just soaking in his messages. Long, throughout the day and the night. Yes. Doesn't finish. There's something in it. It's a few similitudes. He'll tell about this, talk about this, talk about this, talk about this. So you see that many times when I'm preaching and teaching, you see that I start talking about something. But it is the ministry of a prophet trying to use similitudes. Similitudes. Hallelujah. So this is the third ministry of a prophet. I'm giving you only five and we are closing. What is the sound? The wind. Wow. Sounds like a train. Or maybe it's a plane. All right. We are near the airport. If you want to travel, you just, from church, you can just go. Fantastic. I'm giving you three. Are you there? Because you benefit greatly. I speak. Moses was called a great prophet. All the teachings of Deuteronomy, Exodus, Leviticus, it's Moses' ministry of a prophet teaching. That's a prophet. I've spoken by the prophets. I've multiplied visions by the prophet. And I've used similitudes. A teacher's message is very easy and very clear. But a prophet is sometimes not so easy to catch into it and understand it. Verse 13, ministry number 4. By a prophet, the Lord brought Israel out of Egypt. This is the fourth ministry of a prophet I'm pointing out to you today. Through a prophet, God will bring you out of Egypt. Yes. So if you receive me as a prophet, you find that whatever is in Egypt, whatever difficulty is found in Egypt, whatever problems are found in Egypt, whatever bondage is found in Egypt, whatever curse, whatever demotion, whatever darkness is over you in Egypt, You will be brought out of that Egypt by the ministry of a prophet. And the fifth and the last ministry. After being brought out of Egypt, he says, and by a prophet he was preserved. You are preserved by the ministry of the prophet. So it is important. Now, if you look at here, you see that by a prophet, we have come out of Legon cafeteria. Practically. Huh? Legon Hall Chapel. From my crusade in Burkina, I came to Legon Hall Chapel. And I said, we are going to start a church here. And then I said, next week I'll tell you the name of the church. Do you remember? Some of you were there. How many were there? Yeah, many of you were there. And then the next week I came and I told the name of the church is First Love Church. Many times we're taking offering. I'll tell you, you know, we are going to get a land. We are going to build a church. Practically, do you remember? Many times we take, I said, give your offering. You are going to tithes. I was preaching about tithes a lot. I said, yes, we are going to. And by a prophet, he brought Israel out of Egypt. And by a prophet, he was preserved. So practically today, fulfills a clear prophecy that was spoken that has happened practically. Where we are, it's millions of dollars. You may not know. There's nothing cheap in this area. This place is Legon. There's no cheap land here. There's no 5,000 land here. There's no 10,000 or 20,000 land in this area. Practically, there's nothing like 20 or even 50,000 land here. There's nothing like that here. And they don't use cities here. Yes. So you may not know the extent of the miracle that we are enjoying as we are here. Now, recently, one of my pastors made a comment. He said that he would have had about $23 million if he had listened to me in his wealth today. His wealth would have been about $23 million. But he doesn't have anything like that today. If he had listened to me. He said, I said, buy. Didn't listen. Because what? He saw me as a righteous man. Yes. You see the person. Yeah, because if I come and I talk to you about your life, you see me as a righteous man. It's like, what are you also saying? But you too, you also have problems. Waiting. Yes. You are doing church. I'm doing business. Yes. A brother was going to give a testimony, but he had to go. But he'll give it next week. Yeah. But you also have problems. When if I try to counsel your marriage, but you also married, you also have problems. So that's a righteous, you reject it because you see the person as a righteous man and you get a righteous man's reward. But if you can open your heart and start to see things differently, because Jeremiah kept telling that this Zedekiah in another, he told him, look, he said, if even the whole army of Nebuchadnezzar was made up of only wounded men, they will still overcome you. And you will go into captivity. He told them over and over. He said, if you give yourself, you will come, you'll be okay. He didn't listen to them. All of them were killed. And when Nebuchadnezzar gave a special instruction on Jeremiah alone, he said that he told his guard called Nebuzaradan, he said, take Jeremiah, the prophet. They have imprisoned him. They have imprisoned him. Put him in prison. They used to ask him, why are you prophesying these things? You are weakening the hands of the people in the city. And he said, give yourself up. This is what God has ordained. They took Zedekiah, they removed. He said, your children will be killed in front of you. It happened. Your eyes will be put out. It happened. They took him away. It happened. All the things happened. All. And they left Jeremiah. Sometimes I feel sad. Maybe it's my fault. I haven't introduced myself as a prophet. So maybe a certain seriousness, this thing that he's saying. But people who have gotten used to the way I prophesy, they don't like, if I use that as example, say, please, I beg you. One day I was using it as example, please. The person said, I beg you, stop it. I mean, in the middle of the prayer, please, stop. It's like he knows that this thing is a prophecy. Stop it. Don't, it's a similitude. I don't accept the similitude. I refuse to be part of such a similitude. I have so many people that would have been millionaires if they had received what I was saying as a prophet. In the year 2001, I went to America. America. And I stood there and I ministered as a prophet. But my prophecy was from Proverbs. And the prophecy was, you can listen to it if you like. It's called, What is Your Life? The camp is called, What is Your Life? At a point in the camp, I started to weep. I was standing there and I was looking at the Bible and I was crying. My eyes were filtered. I couldn't see the Bible anymore. And the tears were dropping. I was crying. And I was even wondering later on, why was I crying? No. At a point, one time, Elisha came to, he spoke to a commander of the army of Syria, I believe it was. And then he prophesied to him. Then he turned away and started crying. And the commander asked him, why are you crying? He said, because of the things you are going to do to the people of Israel. I see. And he started weeping. Many times that the anointing even makes a person cry. Yes. Because crying is something that is not so controlled unless you are a very super actor. But even the actors, they put rub in their eyes and things. You can't really act crying. I started crying. I was crying for the prosperity of the people and the poverty of the people. When I left America, almost 100% of everybody who was listening to me there rubbished what I said and just did the opposite of what I was saying. I was preaching against mortgages and debts. Mortgages and debts. What is your camp? From Proverbs. All of them. And today, that is, you see that it's a disease. Mopo. But it has not affected me because the Bible says, I called you alone. Yes, I called you alone. It's not a group. If you believe, you believe. He said, I called you alone. Look to your father Abraham, to Sarah that bear. I called him alone. It's not me and you and you and you. Five of us, eight of us, this committee. It's not a team. I called him alone. Yes. So I've continued to go higher with that wisdom that God gave to me. As we are standing here, there's no debt. There's nothing like even $1. Don't know anybody. What we have is what we have. It's okay. Yeah. Your fathers did not receive the prophet God sent to them, but you will receive the prophet God sent to them. And by the ministry of the prophet that you take it like that, you will be brought out of Egypt. Whatever is Egypt, you come out of it. Because Egypt is a strong thing, eh? To come out of it is not a small thing. To come out of the difficulty of Egypt, no. It's not a small thing. What's Egypt? Egypt represents everything you don't want. You are a servant. You can never rise. You can never do well. You are only in bondage. You are only whipped. You are down below. You are oppressed. Even getting married and having a child, what is the point? What is the point of getting married? Because they're going to take your child and throw it in the river. By a prophet. So today, lift your receptacles and receive as you receive a prophet speaking. And experience a change in your whole life and your life's ministry. See it that way. The other day, a sister gave a testimony. She said she was listening to a ISI in London something, and I spoke about medical school. And she said, she just thought, well, maybe I should apply to the medical school again. And she applied. Today, she's in the medical school. Advancing, about to become a doctor soon. Because God was speaking. Because you take it, you see, taking a prophet a bit more seriously. Taking a righteous man is like at a certain level. Taking a pastor, it goes higher. But taking a prophet is like, wow. You be careful. This is it. This is higher. It's higher now. I have to be more serious. I have to be careful. I have to be careful. My life. Maybe it's my life they are talking about. What is he saying? That's all that it is about. It's about the grades of receptivity and the grade of belief. A righteous man to a pastor or a teacher. They say, oh, what Bishop taught was a wonderful exposition. It's quite clear to understand. It's marvelous. You know, one day I saw a sister. I told her, I said, marry this man. And I told her, marry him now. Later will not work. Later will not work. Later will not work. I can't give you the details. Because if I give you the details, you will understand. You'll say, how can you tell? I couldn't even tell my wife when I told her, because I knew that my wife wouldn't really flow with what I was saying. Yeah. But I just felt, I called her. Because, you know, God brought her to me in the condition that she was. And I said, here you are, marry this one. I said, now, think of it now. I wish I could give you the detail. If I give you the detail, you also, Bishop, wow. But that's all you can hear. How many people would be married, would have peace, if they were to listen and say, this person is talking, it's not just a righteous man talking or a teacher talking, or maybe a pastor explaining something. People married, you tell them, don't be nasty. Don't be nasty. He will not like you. When he doesn't like you, you will not be happy. They don't listen. Try to receive things at a high. And I know you in the First Love Church, God has given you the opportunity to receive as you receive from a prophet. Sit down. Now, There's one more thing that I want to tell you. Those who listen and hear and assist, God is going to bless them. Yeah. Jeremiah 38. Just a little bit of Jeremiah, you'll be happy. How many are happy with Jeremiah already? Is he a great guy? He's quite a great guy. If you don't read, you will not know that he's a nice guy. Now, Jeremiah 38, verse 6, to cut things short. Then they took Jeremiah and cast him into the dungeon of Malchiah, the son of Hamelech. That was in the court of the prison. And they let down Jeremiah with cords. And in the dungeon was no water but mire. So Jeremiah sank in the mire. He was going to be drowned in the mud. When Ebed-Melech, the Ethiopian, is this Ethiopian I'm ending my message with? Ebed-Melech, the Ethiopian. One of the eunuchs without testicles. Heard that they had put Jeremiah in the dungeon. The king then sitting in the gate of Benjamin, verse 8. Ebed-Melech, the Ethiopian, went forth to the king's house and spake to the king, saying, "My lord the king, these men have done evil in all that they have done to Jeremiah the prophet, whom they've cast into the dungeon. He is likely to die for hunger in the place where he is, for there is no more bread in the city." Verse 10, then the king commanded Ebed-Melech the Ethiopian, saying, "Take from him 30 men with thee, and take up Jeremiah out of the dungeon before he dies." So Ebed-Melech took the man with him and went into the house of the king under the treasury and took and dragged him out. And Ebed-Melech the Ethiopian said unto Jeremiah, "Put on these old clothes and rocks under your armpits, and we are going to pull you up." Jeremiah did so. And they drew up Jeremiah with the cords and took him out of the dungeon. And Jeremiah remained in the court of the prison. And Zedekiah took Jeremiah, the prophet, unto him in the third entry and says, "I will ask you a thing." And then Jeremiah said to Zedekiah, "If I declare, you will not believe, you will put me to death." And Zedekiah swore secretly and said, "I will not put you to death. And I will not give it to the hands of these people." Verse 17. Then Jeremiah said to Zedekiah, "Thus says the Lord, if you will assuredly go forth unto the king of Babylon's princes, then thy soul shall live, and this city shall not be burned, and thou shalt live and thy house." Look, this is the ministry of a prophet. Look at it. You will live. You shall live. How many want to live? Receive it. You are living. This city shall not be burned. Your dwelling place will not be destroyed. Yeah. You shall live, and your family, your house, are going to prosper. Yeah. But he said, "But if you will not go forth," you see, that's why I say, when a prophet speaks, be careful. "Then this city shall be given, and they shall burn it with fire, and thou shalt not escape." This is what he told the king. But Zedekiah the king said, "I am afraid of the Jews, lest they deliver me into their hand and they mock me." And Jeremiah said, "They will not deliver thee. Obey, obey, I beg you. I beseech thee, the voice of the Lord which I speak to thee. Then it shall be well unto thee, and thy soul shall live. I declare that as a prophet for you," I may not be a prophet to somebody, but a prophet for you, "your soul shall live and you shall prosper. It shall be well unto thee. I have spoken many times about your wedding and your marriage. It will happen practically in your life." Verse 21. Sit down. I've not finished preaching yet. If thou refuse to go forth, this is the word that the Lord has showed me. They will bring out your wives. They will do so many things to you. All right? And so on. So Jeremiah abode in the court of the prison. But now notice, all the way in Jeremiah 39, chapter 39. In the ninth year of Zedekiah came Nebuchadnezzar. In the 11th year, verse 2. Verse 3, all the princes of the king of Babylon came in. And it came to pass, when Zedekiah the king saw them, all the men of the war fled. But the Chaldeans' army, verse 5, pursued them. They didn't listen. Overtook Zedekiah, that's the king, in the plains of Jericho. And when they had taken him, they brought him to Nebuchadnezzar himself. Because Jeremiah told him, Jeremiah prophesied on another part, he told him, you will see Jeremiah face to face, and Nebuchadnezzar, you will see him face to face. You will stand here, you will be standing here. They brought him to Nebuchadnezzar, where he gave judgment upon him. Verse 6, then the king of Babylon, that's Nebuchadnezzar, slew the sons of Zedekiah in Riblah before his eyes. He took his children and slaughtered them in front of him and slew all the nobles of Judah. Verse 7, moreover, he put out Zedekiah's eyes and bound him with chains to carry him to Babylon. Verse 8, and the Chaldeans burned the king's house and the houses of the people and break down the walls of Jerusalem. And Nebuzaradan carried them away. You will never be carried away. Yeah. Verse 10. And Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, left of the poor of the people, which had not, he only left the poor people. Wait, go back. In the land, and gave them vineyards. Say, hey, all of you poor men, take these much more farms. Next one. Now Nebuchadnezzar gave commandment concerning Jeremiah to Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, saying, see, I think he had heard of Jeremiah. Take him. Take Jeremiah. Look well to him. But do unto him as he shall even say unto thee. Whatever he says, do it. Now follow Jeremiah. No problem. Even unbelievers are learning to fear the word of the prophets. You are receiving a genuine fear and a genuine trust in your heart. Verse 13. Nebuzaradan sent away, verse 14, and they sent and they took Jeremiah out of the court and committed him unto Gedaliah that he should carry him home. So he dwelt among the people. Verse 15. Now the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. This is another vision. Are you there? That's why he's in the Bible, oh, these type of people. Huh? Are you now seeing why they are in the Bible? Whilst he was in the prison, go and speak to Ebed-Melech the Ethiopian. Remember the Ethiopian who came to rescue him. Anyone who helps the work of God and helps the prophet, that says the Lord to Ebed-Melech the Ethiopian. Tell your neighbor, you shall be like Ebed-Melech the Ethiopian. Yes. Not that you will be castrated, but you will have a good word. Is it fantastic? I will bring my words on this city for evil. Verse 17. But I will deliver thee in that day. Thou shalt not be given into the hand of the man of whom thou art afraid. For I will surely deliver thee, and thou shalt not fall by the sword. But thy life shall be for a prey unto thee, because thou hast put thy trust in me. Hallelujah. Ladies and gentlemen, when the ministry of the prophet comes to you and tells you, serve God, it's also a prophecy. A prophecy is not only there's a motia standing by your taxi, or there is a this or no. You put your trust in me. Listen. Daniel 12:3 says, they that turn many to righteousness shall shine as the stars. Shortly, we are going to have a camp. Anybody who is not included in those that turn many to righteousness, because you must be part of those who turn many to righteousness. You must have at least a group. It must be a shepherd, a pastor, a what? Elder, church planter. Have a group as a star. You are, those are the stars. For us, those are stars. If you don't have any of these, you don't turn many to righteousness. You just come to receive. But you don't turn many to righteousness. You are excluded. Daniel 12:3. They that turn many to righteousness shall shine as the stars forever. You, listen, in this church, the key to prosperity, which I used to feel shy of. Me, that was my key, but it didn't sound powerful. Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things shall be added. I was ashamed of that verse because it was from Scripture Union. Calvary Road, these are the verses we knew. When I heard Bishop Oyedepo speaking and seeing that his master key to prosperity is Matthew 6:33, I jumped out of my, it was in the middle of the night. I jumped. I said, hey, I found somebody who also believes. I will no more be ashamed of this verse. Because sometimes people feel, what's the master key? Is it financial engineering? Is it strategic management? Is it leverage? Is it what? Smart goals. Is it what? Derivatives. And what? Benchmarking. Special purpose vehicles. Hey. It's nothing. It's Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. This is the word of the prophet. Oh. This is it. But you see, it may not sound powerful. Oh. It may not sound powerful. But that is the master key here. It's the key to marriage. Yeah. Look, if you ask me as a pastor, what is it that like makes somebody marriageable? People at a point, that certain people, they look for somebody who is around, who's a good person working in church. That's a reality. Like really spiritual, but they are not looking like, oh, the size of this is size 47 or... They don't even know the sizes. They don't even know what. They didn't even know that there are sizes of such things. They don't even know that there are sizes. You are the next to find a beloved. Your weddings. Your weddings are some of my happiest days. I like coming for your weddings. Yes. And I'll be attending many of those weddings. That's why when I come, I don't allow anybody to do it. I officiate myself from announcement to the end. I don't give it the microphone to anybody. Only the singers. And the scriptures. You read the scriptures. Hey! Yours will be nice. When you walk down this aisle with the red pillars. And no. I don't think too far. It is just too nice.
And some of you will be getting married in Mampong as well. Listen, not only are you see, by a prophet, Israel was brought out of Egypt. And by a prophet, he was preserved. So your marriage will be nice through this word. It says, I have also spoken by the prophets. I've multiplied visions by the prophets. I've used similitudes by the ministry of the prophets. By a prophet, Israel was brought out of Egypt. And by a prophet, he was preserved. You are preserved in the name of Jesus. Listen, nobody here should accept to be someone who doesn't turn many to righteousness. Minimum is 10 members, 10 people that you are influencing. Ask your neighbor, excuse me, are you a visitor? Do you turn many to righteousness or you are just coming? Maybe you are new. Listen, let me say something. Let me tell you something very important. You see, when you come to church here, you may get an impression about something. You may feel that we are not into school or work, like secular work. But you see, this is a mistake. Since we started the church, so many people have sent to medical school. Say, go. Especially nurses. Male nurses. No, no. No one wants a man to be bathing you. Nobody wants a man to bath you. Or you may think maybe we are not into hard work or good business or whatever. No, you see, what it is that here is what we emphasize. We are emphasizing working for, but all those things are going on the side. It's like, it's so insignificant. I don't have time to, even I pay school fees. I pay several medical students school fees myself. Because I don't want you to, you're uneducated. No. A lack of education. You see, I don't take too far. I don't take madness. I don't understand. Oh, yes. It's like prosperity. It's like we don't have you ever seen me do any fundraising since we came? I will do fundraising for new speaker. This one are for carnival. You know, but when they finish a bit more. The other one, I will come and I'll say, okay, who can give 1,000? This. But I've not asked you for anything. Just take your coins and then be coming to church. No problem. Hard work, school, my son is a lawyer. He's called to the bar. He's been to law school. He's got his degree. He's gone to bar school. He's been called to the bar. He's a professional. But he says he wants to serve God. I say, come. The law is nothing. It's nothing. Yes. Lady Pastor Erica is a lawyer. They're all professional. They are sitting here. That's what school and all these things. I say, look, we have found something greater than all these things. That's why I don't mention school and all. I mean, it's too fantastic. Yes. And you see that I'm not preaching about marriage, but if you come to it, you see that you have learned a lot about marriage. Is it not true? But when have you seen me say, today I'm preaching marriage? You don't even hear it. But if you are here, you see that you are some way and you have to change. How many have seen that you are some way and you have to change? This is the word of the prophet, though.
Serve the Lord. Put him number one. Let him be the first. Don't sit in the church and just say, I'm receiving. Receiving what? Receiving what? Look, you have to rise up and turn many to righteousness one way or another. Everybody here must have at least 10 members. I'm making a sticker. I'm making a sticker. We are going to give it to you. It says, I have 10 members. Put it on. At least I have 10 people that I call them to bring to church. I'm following them up. I meet with them. Something. Ask your neighbor, are you new? Or what was? Are you new? What did they say? How many are going to be at the camp? It is those who turn many to righteousness. If you are not part of the 10 many to righteousness group, you cannot come. It's not for spectators. Stars only shall shine as the stars. Wow. Look at me. I like music. I always do music. I'm always doing music. But I'm telling men, I'm preaching. I'm bringing people. Yesterday, I was preaching. I won so many souls last night. Yes. Are some of you here, by the way? They didn't allow them. Wow. Is it, they have a gate. Wow. They will come. Wow. I'm turning people to righteousness. Seriously. You also turn many to righteousness. Everybody standing, please. Father, thank you for this opportunity. You've brought us to church today. We are glad. Thank you. This is a holy place. And you will use us to turn many to righteousness, to do your great work. We are glad. We listen to the ministry of the prophet. We are upgrading our ears to hear at another higher level from a righteous man to a prophet, that we may receive the prophet's reward. Thanks for your blessing from today, in Jesus' mighty name. Lay your hand on your head. Let your ears be open. In fact, lay your hands on your ears. Let your ears be open. Hear the voice of the Lord speaking in every message, every podcast, every Makane message, every preaching, every service. May your ears be open. May your spirit be aflame. May your spirit be ignited by the words that you hear. May you receive direction. May you come out of Egypt. May you be preserved by the ministry of the prophet. Now lay your hand on your heart. May your heart be softened. May hardness be taken away. Hardness. Stubbornness, resistance, be healed of it in Jesus' name. Now lift your hand and thank God for touching you in this service with the blessedness of His holy word and His power. We give you praise, Lord. We give you thanks in Jesus' mighty name.
Father, thanks a million for your blessing to our lives today. In Jesus' name. Now, every hand, put your hands down. As every head is bowed, I have invited you. But you are not born again. When I say born again, you are not. You don't know Jesus as your Savior. And if you die today, if you die tomorrow, you don't know whether you go to heaven or hell. Pastor, pray with me. I want to give my life to God today. I want to give my life to Jesus Christ today. If I lift your right hand up high, just your right hand up high, and I'm going to pray with you. God bless you. Pastor, I want to give my life to Jesus from today. Lift it up high. God bless you. You are the first to be saved in this hall. Lift your hand. I want to give my... No clapping yet, please. I want... Listen, you are saying, I want to give my heart to God, my life to God today. Maybe you are a Christian. Not a Christian. You also want to say, Pastor, I want to be a serious Christian. I'm a Christian, but not a good Christian. Also lift your hands up. And I'm going to pray with you also. God bless you. If you've lifted your hand, come to the front. Let me pray with you. Come. Come quickly. Come all the way to the front.
Come running.
Come on, let me pray with you. Give your life to God. Come to Jesus. I'm a Christian, but not a good Christian.
His grace will be.
I want to give my life to God. I want to give my life to Jesus. Come on, my friend. All right. Are we ready with the communion? Oh. Hurry up. We need more people to help with communion because communion has to take 2 minutes exactly for everybody to have your communion. And let's sing our song.
Brothers, sisters, we are one and our lives have just begun. In the Spirit, we holy word, gather round the table of the Lord, eat his body, drink his blood, and we'll sing a song of love. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Shout together to the
the bread? Who does not have the wine? Please, bread here. Quickly. Bread. You need bread. Lift your hand. You don't have something. Lift your hand. I'm counting up to 12 and then after that we will do it. If you don't have it, next time sit at the right place where you get it. Hallelujah. Jesus said, he that eats my flesh and drinks my blood has life. Meanwhile, we were alive. So that life is another kind of life. Do you understand? It's life. And what life is that? You have no life. What is the life that human beings are living today? A life of misery, sickness, disease, poverty. Huh? So, God is giving us a new life. Now, the word life, people try to spiritualize it and say that it's like, either eat my body and drink my blood, has a spiritual life. Do you see? That it's not a physical thing. But if you read 1 Corinthians 11, you see that it says that those that are drinking the communion unworthily, many are sick, weak, and dead. It was having a physical effect on them. And the word life means physical and spiritual, every type of life. So as we are receiving this bread and wine, Jesus said, my flesh is meat indeed. It's actually meat. And my blood is drink. We're actually drinking something. How many have watched Asterix? Read. If you have not read Asterix, I'm giving you homework. Go and read. There's a guy called Asterix. He has a magic potion. When he drinks, he becomes very strong. He can beat the whole army. That's how the communion is. When you drink it and you eat it, it's like Asterix. What do you call it? Obelix and Asterix. Yes, Obelix fell into the communion as a child, and his whole life changed. When Elijah ate a special meal, the Bible says he went in the strength of that meat for 40 days. You are going in supernatural strength as you eat this meat. In Jesus' name. Stand to your feet. Is your wine real wine? Mine is real wine. So whenever I drink it, I feel the fire burning in me. I say, hey! I mean, I can feel the power. So you can bring your own wine. Yeah, but you cannot get drunk. Just small one. Those of you who travel, when you're on a plane, you can ask them for a bottle of wine. They'll give you. And you keep it for communion. Yeah, so when I take it, I can actually feel the power. Yeah. Wine is wine. Let us pray. We declare this to be the body, the flesh of Jesus Christ. Whatever cannot be found in the body of Christ, whatever disease cannot be found in the body of Christ, cannot be found in your body. As you take this flesh, whatever was not found in Christ's life will never be found in your life. In the name of Jesus. As often as you do this, you do manifest and show the Lord's death. At this moment, there is a manifestation of healings. A manifestation of the stripes of Jesus Christ. By his stripes you are healed and delivered. Receive the mystical healing from Christ. Whatever is molesting you, whatever wickedness followed you to this room, drops off you today in the name of Jesus. You are set free by the power of God as you receive the body of Jesus Christ. The body of Jesus. And now, the blood. Father, we declare this to be the blood of Jesus. Whatever is poisonous in your blood is neutralized by the blood of Jesus. Receive a sprinkling of the blood. As you drink this blood, every sin of yours, every mistake is washed away. Every error of your life, of your past, is cleansed and washed by this blood. In the mighty name of Jesus. Receive the gift of God right now. When I see the blood, our Passover. Whatever death, tragedy, and bad news is awaiting you this week is forced to pass away by the blood of the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. In Jesus' name, the blood of Jesus.
On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was laid. Oh yeah. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross. Oh yeah. Till my
blessing. As we have built the church and been able to enter, it is hereby declared that everyone under the sound of my voice shall also build houses, and you shall enter your house. In the name of Jesus. Where was impossible for you to put your foot, you are putting your foot there now in the name of Jesus. When they declared you cannot go to America, you cannot go to Germany, you cannot go to England, you cannot put your foot there, you are putting your foot there now in Jesus' name. Whatever has been too expensive for you up till today, I declare that the door is open for you from now in Jesus' name. Receive it in the name of Jesus. Even as it was told us that it is impossible. This is a similitude. It is impossible to get land at Legon. It's impossible to buy land in this area. That there is no land. It is too expensive. And the impossible has become possible. I declare that whatever was impossible in your life becomes possible from today. Just as we have waited a long time to see this day, I declare that your long-awaited blessings are arriving in your life from now on in Jesus' name. Since your wedding must come on in such a beautiful hall, I declare that your beloved is revealed at this time. In the name of Jesus! Whatever you could not hold, you are holding it now. You are holding it now. You are holding it now. Just as First Love Church has been delivered from renting, you are also delivered from a rented house. In the name of Jesus, by a prophet. Israel was brought out of Egypt, and by a prophet he was preserved. So also you are brought out of Egypt, so also you are preserved. The Lord preserves you now. You are standing on concrete. You have a roof over your head. The Lord has given you a foundation. Whatever is shaking in your life is stabilized today by the name of Jesus. I have also spoken by the prophets. I am speaking to you now. Whatever nakedness of your life is exposed, today I declare it is covered in the name of Jesus. You are protected. No armed robber can come to your house. No evil shall befall you. No wicked plan against you shall succeed. God has promoted you. God has lifted you. God has established you. Receive it in the name of Jesus. Those who walk here and those who came with bus, hold your key in your hand right now. God is giving you a car key in the name of Jesus. Your car will be parked as far as the main road. 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 Several people standing here. You'll soon be walking to church with a baby in your hands. Receive it in the name of Jesus. All that I said shall surely come to pass practically in your life. I've also spoken by the prophets. I've multiplied visions. God is making you to see by these prophecies. He's making you to see. Because if you see it, you will have it. Nobody can call you a poor man again from today in Jesus' name. The blessing of the Lord is established. Just as First Love Church has become established by this building, I declare your life, your future is established by from today in Jesus' name. Give the Lord a shout. All things work together for good. I declare, any bad event in your life that seems to be a bad thing, I declare that it's turning around and it's working for your good. It's working for your good. It's working for your good. In Jesus' name. Give the Lord a clap offering. You may be seated.
We believe you have been blessed by the preaching of God's word. For audio CDs, DVDs, books, and other resources by Dykewood Mills, please visit our website at www.dykewoodmills.org. God richly bless you.